From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout Podcast. We're Bleeding Yankee Blue, KGYR Sports, here on the Bleed Blue Show. Listen, man. This was supposed to be a break. We were going to discuss Home Run Derby because Home Run Derby, All-Star Game moved from Atlanta to Denver, Colorado. That's a story for another day, and I may have to do a separate episode on that alone. But nonetheless, we're going to focus on everything. We're going to do an inside-out approach. Of course, start with our own squad, the Yankees, and then get to the rest of Major League Baseball as far as the through the halfway point of the season, of the 2021 season, around the, you know, AL, NL, things like that. Listen, man, I'm gonna bring on Susie Prof, bring on Jimmy, and we're going to discuss this because I can't remember a mini road trip. Well, you won 4 out of 6, and it felt like you stunk it up, or it feels like you left something on the table. Meaning, the Yankees won 2 out of 3 in Seattle. They won 2 out of 3 in Houston. But the thing about this, and I think this is what is frustrating Yankee fans, is because this team is underachieving. See, normally any team, most teams, not with the caliber of what we have on paper, most teams will be happy to be 3 games over .500. It's pretty much a success for most teams. But this particular Yankee roster, the particular expectations of this team, it feels like it's almost a lost season. And it's because situations like, you see this all season long, all fucking season long. And this is where it's pissing me off. And you had Seattle on the ropes, and you lose the game 4-0. All right, whatever, fuck it. You know, it's that consistency of losing that last game where you had an opportunity of sweeping teams. This happened like 8 times this year. But put Seattle to the side, because I'm mad about that. I mean, you should have swept Seattle. Houston is the one I wanted, okay? Houston has moved into the stratosphere of, I almost hate them as much as the Red Sox, if not more, of recently. I hate them just more than the Rays. And when you had the starting pitching performance of Gerrit Cole on Saturday, and what he did, he had a pitch against the Houston Astros, he had to go up against his own manager who came to the mound for whatever fucking reason. We're going to talk about all this, because I don't want to keep these people on, you know, long, you know. Susie Prof, say hello to the people. Bleeding Yankee Blue, it's an honor to have you back on here on the Dugout Podcast with Bleeding Yankee Blue, KGYR Sports. Susie Prof, say hello to the people. We're going to bring on Jimmy on after that. Say hello. I got Racing with us, KGYR as well. Susie, man, how you doing? Say hello to the people. I can't wait to hear from you because I was looking for your tweets. I couldn't find any. What's up?
Oh, my God, Steve. I feel like this needs to be a therapy session. I mean,
yeah.
Come
that's
on.
Exactly what it is.
What we went through, it was literally like a roller coaster of emotions over the last week and a half. I almost was like on a Yankee strike in many ways. I did tweet out about, you know, Cole telling Boone to stand down because I just thought that was awesome. It's got to be the pitcher's game to win or lose at that point. And if you know anything about baseball, we all sat at home going, if Boone takes this guy out, or opposite, Cole lets Boone take him out after that stellar performance, come on, really. But as I wrote in the piece, you know, on Sunday, that's not going to be the performance that's going to define this Yankee season. And, Steve, I think what you said is so on point. It's almost like this is a lost season. And I don't know if they're just in this well and they're trying to, like, swim out, but it's so deep and dank and difficult at this point that they're not going to be able to make much progress. I'll tell you what, it's been a roller coaster And I have no idea what's going to happen. And we should have, you know me, I'm not about the sweeps, but we should have swept. And we had a chance to pick up a game because the Sox lost as well as the Rays. So we had an opportunity and we pissed it away with BS, I think emotion, I think just poor pitching overall. I don't know what the hell happened to Green. And then to top it all off, the question to Boone was, why did you decide not to put Chapman in? Oh, I was trying to get him into a positive situation. What? A positive situation? You're a Major League Baseball pitcher. Stop treating these players like they're children. Stop being an RA and start being a goddamn leader and let's get going. That's the problem. We're like in this gully, doesn't know how to manage. The end. Lost season. I agree with you.
It is amazing how a team could be 3 games over .500 and is considered a lost season. Hold on. I'm coming back to you. I've got great questions for everybody. Jimmy, say hello to the people, sir. How you doing? We bring on Ray real quick. Jimmy, say hello real quick.
I'm good, man. Yeah, this season has just been flat out crazy. And, like, what you said about Houston, I mean, yeah, that was the one that I wanted. I mean, not only because of what, you know, that we had a chance about, you know, about the game and whatever, but I wanted it just because, you know, we don't like Houston that much, so sweeping them with a nice slap in the face, like, hey, we got you, man. you know, that's what message that would have been sent. But did we do that? No, we blew the game. And, like, what I think has to happen is, like, you know, Chad Green has to, like, get his stuff together. He can't be a Chad Green that looks great for, like, two games and then like stinks two games. That's not what a good closer does. A good closer in my opinion will have one. He'll have one or two good games and then when he gets a little bit of a rest, he'll continue to have, you know, when he gets put in that role and he has good games. Not what Green's doing. But our thing is we're using Green too much, but that's because we have no choice because the rest of our team don't want to step up, so we have to rely on putting our closers in these situations because our team is so up and down this year. That's all I gotta say about that, man.
Got more questions, man. Hold on, Jimmy. Ray, what's up, man? Wraith and KGYR, man. What's going on, dude? It's been a minute, man. Say hello to the people. How you doing, man? And then Susie Prof got questions for everybody. And this is therapy today, man, because I don't feel well at all. I'm still not over that shit.
Listen, this is all I got to say. Stan, the trade we made for Stan has become a bust. He's injured. Every goddamn year, I'm tired of it. As far as everybody goes, you talk about Glaber. They talk about the rumors about him trading him. Well, maybe if we would have kept Didi and put him in shortstop and kept Glaber in second base, maybe would have fared out better. No, they didn't. Right now, this Yankee team is a mess. I am very upset. So much talent on this team, but Aaron Boone, I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but this is not turning out real well. And this is the thing that pisses me off. You got between Stan being hurt all the time, and then you got Aaron Judge being hurt all the time, and as talented as the Yankee team is, we should be winning games, but we're not. I have no clue why. And then Chapman, he's blowing saves, which he shouldn't be. But this is just a clusterfuck. I'm sorry to say that. Excuse me for swearing, but this is a clusterfuck. This whole team is a clusterfuck. And either I hope the Yankees turn around the second season. If not, the Yankees need to think hard during the offseason on what they're going to do, because either you guys trade everybody and do a whole rebuild, or you guys need to figure something else, because this is just not good for a team as talented as the Yankee is. This shouldn't be going down. That's what I got to say.
Shout out to Ray. Welcome back, man. Susie Pro, I'm going to step by step. Let me go back. I gotta lay it out like this, because this is a carryover from Saturday to Sunday. I mean, Saturday felt like a playoff baseball game, Susie Prof, watching Gerry Cole on the mound. I mean, he was money. I mean, I was a proud fan watching that performance on Saturday. But it's almost like theater, Susie Prof. It's almost like watching a Broadway show, put it like this, Ray. You can relate to this, Ray. WWE, like Aaron Boone. It's like Garrett Cole was in the middle of the ring, like if it's wrestling or UFC, and Aaron Boone came out of the dugout, like he came onto the apron of the ring to interfere with the match. No, you had no business going to the mound. Like, why? Like, I don't know if it was reverse psychology, Susie Prof, because it got Cole amped up. Okay, I'm laying this out from my personal emotions from Saturday, how Cole got amped up and mowed down the rest of the lineup, the Astro lineup on Saturday. Good, we win the series 2-0, and then fast forward Sunday's game, 7th inning, Gary Sanchez hits that 3-run home run to go up 7-2. I said, we got this. I said, okay, great. We're about to sweep them. Like, at that point, Susie Pro, I'm saying, yo, this is great. Successful road trip. You know, you lose that last game on the Montgomery pitching in Seattle, but you're up 7-2. And, you know, Herman had his couple of innings. He had a little bit of roughed up, but then Chad Green comes into the game. And, man, the domino effect, what happened in that area, because again, Gurriel had it got on with the single off of Herman, and I think Tucker hit a double off of Herman, and that's when Green came in. Then McCormick hit a double. Who else was after that? Toro hit a double after that. It was back-to-back doubles, and then the score went down to 7-5. Castro got pinched to and hit a single. And then that set up everything once Matt Straw, Maldonado, and then Altuve. And Susie Prof, Altuve personally, Bob is the most hated athlete in my history right now. And that's saying a lot. I mean, I'm talking about any sport, Susie Prof. I can't stand Jose Altuve. I've been cussing for 24 hours. And Chad Green, what a fucking meltdown that was. Yo, this is therapy, Susie Prof. I want to hear from you, Susie Prof. From Saturday, from Gerrit Cole, how he went, a complete game, the mount, you know, when Aaron Boone came to your emotions when Aaron Boone came on, then fast forward to the 7th inning when Gerry Sanchez hit the 3-run homer to make it 7-2, and then from 7th inning to 9th, I want to sit back and listen to you, you know, your perspective. I got to hear this, and then I want to get Jimmy's and Ray's after that, man. I can't believe it. And Susie Prof, we won the series, and I'm still mad.
Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the head. The emotions, the just the fervor that you saw in Gerrit Cole in Houston in the first game that he's pitched in there since leaving. First series that the Yankees have played in Houston since 2019. Emotions are high to begin with. But then for Cole to lay down that performance the way he did, and no run support, Aaron Judge, you know, who quite frankly taunted Altuve after his, you know, only run of the game, pulling out his shirt and such. On Saturday evening, And, you know, him getting, Cole getting 12 strikeouts, he gave up 3 hits. It was an absolutely stellar performance. And it was full of emotion. It was full of every, you know, every part of you was in that game. You know, for the love of the game. I mean, it made me think about the movie with Kevin Costner, For the Love of the Game. Yeah, Kevin Costner's at the end of his career. Obviously, Cole is earlier part of his career. But it was like that, you know, clear the mechanism kind of game. And, like, and then he cleared, you know, Boone right the hell off the mound and said, again, this is my game, my guy. I'm going to do this. He even said, you know, so full of emotion that he basically blacked out. He didn't even really remember what he said to Boone because he knew he was focused on doing what he needed to do. Fast forward to Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, to the meltdown of not just Chad Green, but of the entire bullpen. At that point, now keep in mind, we've got all kinds of guys hurt. And then, of course, you know, the RA didn't want to put in, you know, the closer because he didn't want him to be in a situation where he would be unsuccessful. So now, you know, you're not trusting your closer in this situation. I'm sure that emotion was spiraling through that bullpen and perhaps the dugout as well. And then there was an ultimate meltdown. I mean, that's like the meltdown of the Yankees-Red Sox series several years ago, which I don't ever want to think about. It was left me so empty that I almost forgot how good the game was the night before, which is a shame because it just shows you that was yesterday's news, and it really shouldn't be. It should be the igniter to move this team forward. But we talk about therapy. I mean, that was something else. And the thing that I picked up on in reading, you know, the different analysis about Cole and his stuff, you know, Dusty Baker, who I have a lot of respect for. I mean, and honestly, like, if anybody's going to legitimize Houston, it's going to be a guy like Dusty Baker who played under Tommy Lasorda, who has been, you know, a baseball player through and through, well-respected, comes in. He's like the substitute teacher in that dugout, just kind of, you know, stroking forward, steering the ship. And he compared Cole to Tom Seaver. And I said, oh, my God, that's exactly it. Because he just went to his fastball. He just went to his one pitch. That's all. He wasn't trying to do anything than just blow it past them. And he was throwing 99, you know, by the end of that game in blowing people away with that high fastball. So it was an amazing, emotion-filled game that almost, in many ways, could get erased if you don't look past that awful, and of all people, Altuve, to hit a walk-off 3-run home run to come back and beat the Yankees 8-7. I mean, that was just disgraceful. And if I were, you know, anybody in that clubhouse, I'm devastated as a fan. I don't know if I can get over it. And it really, it screwed with my head. And now we sit here, and as I say, we have to sit back. We have to reflect on it. We have to have therapy on it like we're having tonight. And then we got to get out there, and we got to play Boston. So, I mean, you know, they're going to have to win against teams in their division if they're going to battle back. Otherwise, it's, to your point, Steve, a lost season, and that's it.
One quick question, we go to Jimmy. So your exact emotion, state of emotion, when Cole was pitching in the ninth, and Boone came to the mound. I was looking for your tweets, and I couldn't see it at that time. So you were flabbergasted that Boone came out? And then what was your reaction exactly in real time when Cole kind of, like, shoved him off the apron? He's like, get away, shoot, get away.
Stand down. That's what I tweeted. I tweeted, stand down. and it got a lot of retweets on it. It was unbelievable, and I couldn't believe it. I'm watching him in the dugout, and I'm listening to, you know, the Fox announcers. Oh, what is he going to do? He's got Chapman up there, and I was losing it, losing it, and screaming at the television, and essentially saying, "If he would have pulled him out of that game, I'm not kidding. I told you, I would have turned that shit off, because I would have seen that garbage coming in from the freaking bullpen, and I would have shut the thing off. I'm telling you.
He would have got fired.
I was sick.
Hypothetically, if Chapman would have came in and they would have blown that game, he would have been fired after that performance. There's no way you could come back.
You know what? I wish. Yes, Steinbrenner would have fired Billy Martin 100 times over. Billy Martin's not stupid enough to take his starting pitcher out like that. You think he's taking Ron Guidry out in a situation like that? Get the hell out of here. You know how many situations Ron Guidry went all the distance, throwing all those strikeouts? What do you have, 18 strikeouts in a row? No way. I say Billy Martin sits his ass down and watches that game go through. He's not putting even Goose Gossage on the mound in that situation. You let that guy, it's my game to win or lose. It's my emotion. It's my pitching. It's my guy at the plate, and I'm going after him.
Word up. And Susie, before I go to Jimmy, think about it like this, and where the state of baseball is today, where Gerrit Cole threw, I think, 129, 130 pitches, and that was the most pitches thrown by any 129. Pitcher.
129.
That's the most by any pitcher this year. Look how far we have, you know, come from where you can't even throw well over 100 pitches because of analytics. You know, like, they're taking guys out of the game because they're trying to preserve their arm. But why is it we're seeing the science of guys having these Tommy John injuries more than ever? And you can't even get these guys to throw well over 100 pitches. This one, you know, of course, when you were growing up, and then like Ray and myself and Jimmy, like, when we watched games, these guys were horses, man. Like it was. I say all this to say, this was pleasant to see that this guy put his guts out there for 129 pitches on the road, and versus that team, because we already know the environment. They don't like us. We don't like them. We know the recent history between the two teams. I loved it, man. I don't know about, you know, in baseball. It may not be like the top five performance of this year, but it's definitely a top five moment in my book. I mean, I could think of others around Major League Baseball, but that Gerrit Cole shit was off the hook, man. Just, you know, knowing the circumstances, the environment, the state of baseball. I loved it, Susie Pravo. Where would you put that before we go to Jimmy as far as, you know, where you rank it up until this point at the halfway mark this season?
Oh, my God. I mean, you said it 100%. I want to add one more little nugget to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
How about he was on an IV drip because he had some sort of virus or illness 2 days prior to that start?
Whoa.
How about that? Throw that into the whole mix of emotion and incredible performance that you saw that night. I would say, next to Kluber throwing the no-no, number one highlight. Emotion-wise, chills up your spine, probably the top moment of the season. Probably the top moment of the last 2 to 3 seasons, honestly.
It may be crazy to say, Susie, probably I'm going to go to Jimmy. It may be crazy to say, I understand no hitters, and I get that. But, I can't believe I'm about to say this, because, you know, no hitter is a no hitter at the end of the day. That Gerrit Cole performance was more, as far as importance, was more important than what Kluber did in Texas and Arlington.
Yeah.
Importance.
No, agree. I agree. Important, more emotion-filled, more exciting, if that could possibly be. More exciting. I'm telling you, it's like for the love of the game. It was like, clear the mechanism. This is my guy. Sit your ass down in that dugout. Manage. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. You don't. Goodbye. I got this.
It was theater.
Amazing.
Theater. Yeah. Jimmy, Jimmy, we got a lot to discuss, man. I don't even know. We may not even have enough time tonight because I got so many emotions going through my head, and as many, I'm pretty sure you guys do as well. But, Jimmy, what was your thoughts going through the emotions on Saturday and then carrying it over to Sunday, especially the later innings? And then also, Jimmy, am I crazy to think winning 4 out of 6 feels like we lost? We talk about winning series all the time, and we did that, and it still feels like it didn't feel right, Jimmy. I don't get it. I don't know. I feel indifferent, man. What's your thoughts?
First of all, you understand, say about Gerrit Cole. That performance right there, that's the reason that we got Gerrit Cole, because we needed a pitcher that could pitch like that, that had the guts to pitch like that. And, like, seeing that performance on Saturday, doing what he did, it was just, like, it just felt really sweet, not just because it was Gerrit Cole, but because it was against one of the most hated teams right now, and because every Yankee fan hates them, the Houston Astros. And on the road, you know, usually when you have a pitcher like that on the road, like, yeah, usually the tensions are, like, super high, you know. You know, you have all these thoughts in your head, like, oh, is the home crowd going to get to me if I do something, you know, they're going to cheer if I do something, you know, if I do something wrong or whatever, like, all those emotions going through your head. And Gerrit Cole is just like, I'm going to block out the noise and I'm going to do my thing. Like,
nice to see.
And then Sunday, all I got to say about Sunday is, like, there's no excuse to blow a lead like that. You know, when you're down by 7 runs, you know, when you're up by 7 runs, especially like there's a Yankee team that, you know, you never know what they're going to do at the end of the day. So sometimes they could score 5, sometimes they could score 4 runs. And sometimes they can only score 2 runs. So it's like, when you get an opportunity like that and you're up 7-2, take it. Take it. Don't piss it away just because you want to put your awful closer in the game. And I'll say awful closer because that's what he is to me right now until he proves otherwise. But you put your awful closer in there and then you let old Altuve smack a home run like that, man. That's
terrible, you know. And if we keep doing that the second half of the season, I mean, I hope we don't. But if we keep doing that the second half of the season, it's going to be really, really hard, if not impossible, to come back
from that. So, and that's my thoughts on that, you know. As far as everything else goes, I mean, we just have to find a way to change something. Either change the way we manage or change the way we do something, because like we can't be winning 2 games, losing 1 game, winning 2 games, losing 1 game, you know, or the pattern like that. You know, we have to start
sweeping these division teams.
You know. You know, we're at the point of the season, Steve. I think we're, you know, if this was like April, May, you know, we were like doing this, you know, win, lose thing, it wouldn't be a big deal because, you know, like, every team goes through a slump. It's good. But we're in the middle of July now. So there's a point of the season where I think sweeps are more important, winning is important too, but I think sweeping is, you know, especially our division teams is up there winning right now. So we got to do both if we want to come back. So
those are my thoughts right there.
Can I ask you a question, Jimmy, before we go to Ray? Can I ask you a question, Jimmy? I should have asked this to Susie Prof as well. Well, I'm going to get back to her. Is it the situation 7-2 up on Astros? Boone was kind of reminiscent of what happened at home versus the Angels, because remember, we didn't come on that following Monday, where the Angels went off in the top of the ninth and gave, you know, and the Yankees gave up 7 runs in the grand slam. I think Boone kind of saying, all right, we're not trying to go through that again. And that's why he steered away from him and it kind of backfired because Chad Green kind of you know, gave up the goods. Is that what was the thought process? Did you think that was the thought process? Because it's just recently before the road trip, that last game versus Anaheim, giving up all those runs and then that big crushing grand. I mean, these are some bat-breaking innings we're giving up, man. And this is a recent, too.
You know, maybe that's what it was, Steve, but it goes to show you. It goes to show you, again, that baseball is not like the other sports, you know. At least the other sports, Steve, like football, you know, you play every week, so you have a game plan like that. You know, and if something usually works in football, you can, you know, if the other team don't know it enough, you could do it again. But I feel like baseball is different from football because, you know, baseball, you play so many games that sometimes what you did in the past doesn't work. So I think Aaron Boone had that past thing in his head, like he was trying something different, and it didn't work. But again, getting back to what I was saying, you know, Chad Green's got to get his stuff together. You know, we can't be having these games where we have either really great Chad Green or awful Chad Green, because when Chad Green's on, he's on. You know, there's no denying it. When Chad Green's on, he's on. But when he's off, you know, it's Steve. When he's off, he's really off. Like you don't have switches. Like there's no like maybe he's off or like oh he's a little bit off, so we'll get it together. No, when he's off, he's off. So Chad Green has to find his on switch and keep it on. Yeah, you know, go on my analogy there. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, the break on his pitch was cutting over right over the middle of the plate and not the inside he usually hits. And they were fucking meatballs. It was batting practice in that ninth inning for the Astros. Like, after the first two hitters, you knew he didn't have it. And it was just, it felt like a slow bleeding out death. Like, but I didn't think it was going to come to the point we were going to lose that game. I thought we were to find a way to persevere. I just thought it was going to be a little bit of rough, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of shaking. But I thought the Angels won. The Angels game was bad. Because I stayed up for that, and I was pissed, man.
Was
it rain delay? Oh, that crap? I was angry going to sleep. At least I had a few hours yesterday to cool down. And then I'm still not over that shit. This is therapy. Let's go to Rayson, and then we'll bring on somebody up from Skype. Ray, you brought up a good point. I wrote it down, right? You said about Chapman, about Boone not trusting him, and I think that goes back to the Angels game, all right? And then, okay, the Mets come in. You know, we're backtracking a little bit, too, because we didn't talk about it. The Mets come in. They act like they wanted to be there where the Yankees didn't. Like, the Yankees – first of all, personally, as a fan, I don't know where you guys stand, Jimmy, Susie, Prof. I'm over Interleague. And I said this even before the Mets game. Just I've been saying it for seasons, man. I'm tired of Interleague, man. Either we're just gonna make one universal league and stop calling one thing the AL, one thing the NL. The Interleague thing was a nice little fad. I'd just rather see teams in the World Series, you know, unknown opponents. But the Mets just took the Yankees' heart, man. It was just terrible to watch in that. At least the Yankees went on the road and won the first two games in Seattle. But you brought up the point as far as the Stanton trade, and it's like, you know, you're paying the guy so much money, and you're actually okay that he's trying to fight through these injuries and all that. It's crazy to say this, but he's not having – okay, here's the thing about him. He's not having the season in which you're paying him. If he was just a regular guy, you're paying like $7 million, you would say, man, that guy's having a good season. If he was Gio Urshela, he's having a good season at the plate because he's not doing too bad. I mean, he's batting like 270-ish right now the last time I checked. But, you know, we're paying him to hit slug and hit home runs. He's not where he should be at the top of the Major League Baseball when you're at that rate or the salary you're paying him. So that's kind of where I stand on Stanton. Now, let me get your thoughts on Stanton as well. Anything else you'd like to add what we said? You brought up a good, you know, points about keeping Didi. And that's actually more about management opening up their pocketbook. Because remember, this ain't George. Like, George will pay anybody. He'll cuss you out if you stink and he'll fire you. Where the Suns are kind of like, the son, Steinbrenner, is just not as open with the paybook like his father. What's your thoughts, Ray? And then we'll go to the next caller.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Let's see. Let me bring up a point here. When Joe Torre was the manager, the Yankees weren't cocky. They were a balanced team, all right? They hit. They stole bases. They did what they do to win games. This Aaron Boone team, they too cocky. You know why? Because they got so much talent. They think they can win over everybody with the home run ball and all. Nah, that's not the case, and that's the problem. This team think because they're over-talented that they can win over everybody, and that's not the case. It is not happening. What Aaron Boone needs to do is calm these dudes down, be like, yo, we just need to win game by game, just like Joe Torre did. That's not happening right now. This team is over cocky. They think because they got all the talent in the world that we can beat everybody. No, that's not the case. And this is why we're failing this year. And this is the thing that I'm just trying to say, that this team needs to get it together. And they're not getting it together. They talk about, I've been hearing all types of rumors, trade Glaber, no. Glaber has been struggling. Okay. Maybe if the Yankees trade for a good enough shortstop, put him back on second base. Once you put him back on second base and you move him around the lineup, maybe he'll start hitting better. You know what I'm saying? Second of all, this team, I mean, the pitching is suspect. I get it. But, you know, if you can get another pitcher during the trade deadline, I mean, we can do so much things. The problem is with this team is they done overachieved in the early going that they think that they can power everybody. And that's the thing about Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone needs to tell these guys, listen, we need to go game by game. We can't just be overpowering everybody because we're not. We need to get hits, steal bases if we have to, play small ball. The Yankees have not been playing small ball, and that's one of the problems. And then with the pitching-wise, other than Gerrit Cole, nobody's been showing up. They need to just do what they need to do, play small ball, and maybe we'll get back in it in the second half. I hope so, but right now it's not happening because this team thinks that they can over home run everybody, they can overpower everybody. They too cocky. They need to calm down and just go game by game. That's what I got to say, man.
Let me say this. I forgot to bring up this point. Susie Prof, when we get back to definitely give me your thoughts on this because we didn't discuss this. And listen, Ray, I think this is – I look at it like this. Even though Aaron Boone is, quote-unquote, the manager by title, everything is run through the upper management, the analytics,
right,
the executives. Brian Cashman made that public statement a couple of weeks ago after the Yankees were just losing bad games. And he took the fall, on which I'm glad he did that because he had to be transparent on who and what is running whatever. Boone is just doing what he's told. He's just the puppet out there. He's just the guy management is telling to do here's the notebook and here's the situation. You do this. You're the face of the notebook. We're running the things, and Brian Cashman took ownership of that, and I'm cool with that. I'm glad he made that statement.
Right.
I can respect that, but even with that being said, Ray, at the end of the day, the bullpen, you got to close these games. You got to make these pitches. The injuries, you can't make these excuses. We just have to find a way to overcome. Because like you guys said, you got 8 games in the next 2 weeks versus the Red Sox, and we haven't beat them yet.
Right.
And then after that second Boston when we're at Fenway, we got to go to Tampa after that. If you don't,
right,
you at minimum, you got to win the series. You can't split. You can't lose the series. You have got to win the series 3 out of 4 against Boston, 2 out of 3 versus Tampa, just to have a chance. Preferably sweep them, but I can't even give them all that because there's nothing in this season I can say they're going to sweep them. I just don't see that. I'm guessing this is Carl.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure on Skype. Carl, is this you? If not, who's this?
Pleasant good evening, Steve. How are you? Coming back
Carl,
from the 2.5-hour trip down to Houston.
Oh, did you? Oh, you was there?
2.5 hours away. It was my first Minute Maid Park trip since I've moved down here, and let's just say it was interesting to say.
Okay. Now we're going to lay the floor out for you because I didn't know you went to the game. So give everybody your perspective, how you saw from the fan. You know, make the trip to Houston, walking in the Minute. That's a nice ballpark, by the way. Walking in the Minute Maid Park.
Yes.
The atmosphere. Which games did you go to? You heard all the situations we've been talking about with Gerrit Cole and Boone and the Sunday game. I'm going to sit back and let you go and fire away and give us your thoughts on what the fuck happened.
So now I haven't called into the show before for this particular one, so I don't know all the guys. I think that was Racing Force. I think I may have just heard a few moments ago. I haven't heard him in a long time. Okay. I went Saturday and Sunday. Made the trip down there. I didn't go Friday because when I saw the pitching matchup, I had no real interest in going down there. So I was there. The atmosphere in Houston at the park is actually pretty. It's similar to how it is in Arlington. It's a very family friendly situation that they have down there. They played a video of a tribute video of Gerrit Cole prior to his start on the big board on Saturday, which I was kind of surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. You know, the crowd gave him a nice ovation. From what I understand, from what someone told me that was sitting next to me, they gave him a nice ovation the night before as well, which I was like, boy, you know, in certain cities, like that would probably never happen. one of the best pitchers on your team goes to a rival team and you give him an ovation. I was like, wow, really? I'm like, okay, I'll go along with that. And so that from that standpoint, there really wasn't a whole lot of hate for Cole to begin with. I'm not totally sure how it came off on television. There wasn't any like vociferous boos or anything. This wasn't like Roger Clemens coming back to Fenway, you know, as a member of the Yankees or anything like that. So that was not the case at all. That game, the 1-0 game, was interesting because as the game was kind of going on, we're just, you know, I'm in my head, I've been visioning Cole in the last like six weeks or so where he's been struggling. I'm like, man, okay, is this gonna be the night where it just falls off? And I don't think, if I remember correctly, I don't believe Bregman and Correa were in the lineup. I think one of the two might have. I know Bregman didn't play the Sunday game. Someone can check that for me just to make sure if my memory was off on that. So, you know, some of the Astros guys that, you know, we've been used to seeing over the past weren't in the lineup, you know, over the course of the 2 days. So this, it was kind of a different, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't the same. The Astros had a lot of guys that it looks like they've been developing for a period of time on their team that were all in the lineup that day. But as it went along, I remember looking at his pitch count around the seventh inning. And I remember asking guys, I said, guys, you think the Yankees are going to let him go? You know, the whole way here, if this holds up, because I'm like, you know, it's going to get to a point where he's going to face, you know, the top of the lineup if this plays out right a fourth time, and I'm not comfortable with that at all. And they had Chapman warming up, I think in the A's. No, it was the start of the top of the ninth inning. I remember we saw him, and I was like, wait, they're going to bring Chapman in this game? Like, I could totally see where if, you know, Chapman comes in the game and blows the game, like everybody just like explodes. I could totally see this happening. And so when Cole comes back out for the ninth, I'm like, all right, here we go. And I think Altuve got the first hit to start the inning. I said, oh boy, here we go, folks. But luckily, as it played out, you know, he gets out of it. He gets the three strikes on Alvarez, who I like him as a player. And that was in a great atmosphere, that whole ninth inning, especially after that strikeout. A lot of Yankee fans down there in Houston. And all the games I've done here in Texas have been tremendous. Folks just drive up and down the, you know, whether it was Arlington when I was there earlier and this Houston one now, same thing. They just come from all over the state for these games, and it was tremendous. The Sunday game, I remember getting up
Quick question before you get to the Sunday game. I can't remember. Did you go to that Kluber no-hitter game? Or you was at the other game?
I was there.
Okay. So you was at both games. I remember, and Susie probably, she has questions for you after that. We'll talk. Which one was you more impressed by, the no-hitter or the Cole game? Since you was at both of them.
Overall, I would probably say the Cole game, only because the Texas Rangers lineup is not good. As someone who watches Rangers games here, that team is, I mean, they got two guys I think could probably make the All-Star team potentially, but at the time that the Rangers were playing that night, I think they were hitting like 198. Like they were not fielding a competitive lineup, you know. So from that standpoint, you know, Kluber's, now I was stunned obviously by the no-hitter as it ended up happening, but just in terms of like sheer dominance on the mound, Cole was much more dominant in his game than Kluber was in his game, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, continue on, sir, this Sunday. This is the part I want to hear. We're going to go back. Yeah, I got to hear this.
Yeah, so the Sunday game, so at 7-2, I remember getting up. I was like, all right, guys, I'm gonna go take a nice little walk around the stadium, because at this point I'm like, all right, listen, they're up by 5 runs. Not much could happen here. And so, you know, I'm just kind of just perusing the ballpark, finally just kind of like seeing things now. I forget, game's going to be over in about a half hour, so maybe less than that. We're going to just take a look. And then all of a sudden, I see the bottom of 9 starts, and the first two guys get on. Or no, I take it back. Was it a hit and a homer, or was it two? I think the first two guys got on. And then all of a sudden,
yep.
By the time you look up, it's like 7-5. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell just happened? You know, and I'm like, okay, this chap. At first, I didn't realize. At first, I thought that, and I wasn't looking at the field when this was going on. I thought they would have brought in Chapman to start the bottom of the 9th inning because they were up by 5 runs. You know, I was like, okay, this seems like a relatively safe situation to bring him in. You know, this game, what could possibly go wrong? Not really realizing, you know, what would eventually play out. And so I was like, all right, let me watch this a little bit now as Green is in there. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't like where this is headed. And as it played out, you know, unfortunately, you know, Altuve came up, and once he came to the plate, I was like, there is some bad intentions happening. There is some karma that is in play, because I didn't realize until I was told about it that I guess Judge did something with his jersey to mock Altuve the previous night. I guess I didn't pay that much attention to it at the time, you know. And I'm just like, you know, Altuve's up, like all this stuff from before. If you remember, I think in May the Yankees were going to sweep Houston, and Altuve hit a home run off of Green, if I remember correctly, in that series. And so it was like, fast forward now, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I like this. And obviously there's no one else you're going to go to now. You know, who are you going to bring in? Lucas, whatever his name is? Like, no, you're not bringing him in. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, Green gives up the homer, and at that point I'm just like, boy. I couldn't even be upset. You know what? It was weird. I couldn't be upset because I was so stunned at what happened. If that makes any sense.
It had.
It was like, you know what?
The Red Sox, Yankees on that. It had like Susie Prof said. It had that kind of stunner of what happened when we played the Red Sox years ago. That kind of shock value to it. Football-wise, you're a football guy. It had 2010 Giants and Eagles.
Yeah.
It had that kind of impact.
Well, actually, there was the closest thing I could have thought about was, since I was there for both of them, and I was in Green Bay when the Hail Mary was caught by Hakeem Nicks, and then being in there 5 years later when the Packers did the exact same thing in the exact same end zone. That was the first thing that popped in my head. I said, well, I've seen this kind of thing before. And I couldn't be upset. I was just like, you know what? It's just karma. It's one of those things where it just comes around to you and it just sort of happens.
Last question for me, and if Susie Pratt has a question, last question. So, how did you feel the Seattle series in Houston as far as, did you feel like, we even though we won the series, we lost? Like, that's how I feel. I think that's kind of what I gathered from Yankee fans. Like, what do you feel about the season up until this point?
Well, I mean, if you are upset about the way the season has played out, that operates under the premise that you believe that the 60 games that they played last season was a fluke. I didn't think it was a fluke. And so what's played out this season is sort of an extension of what happened last season with some of the underperformance among a number of players. So I the way that they're playing right now just sort of has kind of, I think it's the last 144 games or something, there's something along the lines of like 74 and 67 or something like that. Like, they're just a few games over 500. They're no different really than they were last year. As far as the six games on the road trip go, I think that folks could have easily been fooled into thinking, okay, well, they're going to go ahead. They're probably going to win 4 out of 6 because they're not bad enough to be so terrible, but they're also not good enough either to drive yourself into a mode of this team can do something. There has been zero evidence over the 80-plus games that they've played that they're any more than what they actually are, which is about 4 or 5 games over 500. They might finish with 85, 86 wins, but that's about as far as what they have shown. You know, I find it pretty funny or pretty odd that, you know, we seem to be moving the goalposts with this team this season. Like, after 20 games, it was, it's just 20 games. After 40 games, it was, well, there's still a long season to go. After 60 games, it was, well, we still have 100 games left. And now we're after 80 games. It's like, well, let's give me like 10 more games so I can see what this team is. I'm like, wait a second. Come on. Like, we all know what good baseball looks like. Like, we all know what a sound, fundamental, you know, high-quality baseball team looks like. When you watch these games every night, does that look like in any form or fashion to you? Like, if you are of the belief that that's going to eventually at some point turn around, then you haven't been watching the last 140 games that this team has played. What are you expecting? I'm not totally sure. And so I've sort of looked at it from that angle, and the results have been the results.
Yeah. Susie Prof, you sit back and you heard Jimmy and Ray and Carl, myself rant, and I know you have a lot more to say. And then after you, you know, say what you got to say, we're going to get some final thoughts from everybody. But Susie Prof, anything else you'd like to add from Bleeding Yankee Blue?
So here's the question: does the Altuve home run on Sunday erase the outing by Cole on Saturday?
Ooh, I'm going to say no, but it still hurts, if that makes sense. That Cole performance for me, I don't know where Jimmy's going to say. Well, ask Jimmy, we'll ask everybody. That is old school, I'll take the team and put it on my back stuff. You just can't not forget. And like Jimmy said, this is why we got him. We needed a clear-cut number one. So... anything else, Susie Prof, before we get some final thoughts from everybody?
I mean, that's really my question. You know, I'm struggling with faith this team. Yeah. I'm struggling with faith in the team. I'm struggling with, you know, getting back up on the horse and trusting that this team can pull through, trusting that if you have a 7-2 lead, that you have a good enough cushion to move, you know, your team forward into the ninth in a confident way, and that your pitching staff will back that up. I struggle when I see that kind of game happen to us. And I know we've had it happen to us over the years in critical times. We've also done the opposite and come back and won, you know, win a game. I mean, I was at a game, old school Boston Yankee game back in the 90s when the Red Sox went up 10-0 in the first inning, and my father was like, we are out of here. And I said, no, we're not. It's only the first inning. And we chipped away and won 11-10. So I've been at those kinds of games, and it's a great feeling to come back like that. It's an awful feeling to let it go. And it happens to everybody. And I guess I struggle with, you know, I'm trying to build back my faith in this team. And you're 100% right in that you know good baseball when you see good baseball. And we have been playing anything but. We've been playing mediocre baseball this entire season where we were supposed to be dominant. And maybe that's the, you know, the Yankee fan in me, that the expectation is a lot higher than it is for other teams in New York. But I expect to be up 7-2 and, you know, stroll around the ballpark, right? Because you got this. But instead, I got to sit here with angst, worried that right. Chad Green is going to vomit all over the field. So I guess at the end of the day, no, it comes down to Cole beats Altuve in, you know, between the two games. And I've got to, you know, go off of the high that Cole put out there. But in order to win this season, all of you, we need three Coles in the starting rotation. And I don't mean like they all have to pitch like him, but when I say pitch like him, have the same set of pitches, they have to pitch like him the way he took control of that game, the way he was dominant in that game. We need three pitchers like that in the rotation. We don't have that. We have Cole. That's it. That's the only guy that is in that rotation right now, the confidence and the fervor and the dominance, the ability to be dominant. That's like a Roger Clemens, I'm dominant kind of player. You see him, he steps out there with presence, and he does his job. And I guess I have to just, you know, believe that we can get there. But it's going to be an interesting trade deadline, let's say that. And, you know, we're either going to be at a fire sale, and to Ray's point, Gleyber Torres is on the auction block, or Aaron Judge for that, you know, matter, or we're going to, you know, grind down and see what we can, you know, we can get. We'll be buyers. Who knows? But at the end of the day, Cole beats Altuve, and that's my final answer on that.
Cool. Shout out to Susie Prof. Jimmy, give us your final thoughts as we wrap up. You got any plans for All-Star game, Home Run Derby, if you're watching it tonight or as in session? Your final thoughts, Jimmy? And then, like you said, we got these two series versus the Red Sox and the Phillies in between that. Final thoughts from you, Jimmy, and then we get the race and then get the car, and then back to Susie Prof for final thoughts.
My thoughts are simple. We have to just get it going somehow. And my biggest problem with this team is that, you know, we only have – it's nice that we have Gerrit Cole, but we need other guys to step up. You know, like, we need Montgomery to play good. You know, we need all our pitchers to play good, because having one dominant good pitcher and nobody else steps up, that's not going to – for one, it's not gonna win you a lot of games, especially when you don't score runs, when you only score runs consistently. Like, if you're playing a game where you're only scoring five, you know, or one game you score five runs and you win a game, and then you play another game where you only score like two runs, but then pitching is not that good. Like, that's not gonna win you games. So what we gotta do, we gotta be consistent across the board, you know. And as far as these series go, we gotta somehow sweep them. I don't know how we're gonna do it, but we gotta somehow sweep them. Especially Boston, we have to figure out Boston, because if we can't catch Boston, it's gonna be very, very, very difficult to you know, get in position to even win this division. So we have to figure out Boston. You know, Tampa is going to be tough, but I'm not worried about them as much, because like we figured them out sometimes. So let's just focus on Boston, do what we got to do, and, you know, let's get Tampa. But my final thought is we got to just be more consistent across the board. If we can do that, I think we have a good second half. But if we don't, it's going to spell trouble. So that's all I got to say with that.
Shout out to Jimmy, man. Thank you. Kings Eagle 1 on Twitter. Ray, man, final thoughts. Rayson, it's good to hear from you talking baseball, man. And give us your final thoughts, man, heading into the second half of the season, and then get the call and get back to Susie Prof from Bleeding Yankee Blue.
Well, it comes down to this. The Yankees need to get their shit together in the second half. That's what's going to determine what this team is all about. If they don't get it together in the second half, and we don't even make the playoffs, then the Yankees need to think hard about what this team is all about. This team needs to start playing small ball and start manufacturing runs any other way other than the home run ball. Other than that, this team, they need to get it together because, Gerrit Cole, yeah, we pay him all that money. Yeah, he pitched a gem the other day. But the other pitcher needs to step up, too. And not only that, it's not just the pitching. It's the hitting, too. We need to learn how to manufacture runs. And if we can't do that in the second half, and the Yankees need to take a hard look during the offseason. Everybody talk about trade Gleyber Torres. No, I say do not trade Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres is still a talent. I say get a great, a very good shortstop that can defend shortstop, that have a good defensive skills in shortstop. Boone the second, and then I can see him producing again. The Yankees just... And then this whole thing with Stanton always getting hurt, they need to do something with that, either trade him or do something, because we pay him all that money and he hasn't really been doing as much in the past couple of seasons. So with that said, my final thought is the Yankees need to get together in the second half. If not, man, we need to get a hard look at our lineup, our whole team during the offseason. And that's all I got to say, man.
Ray, it's good to have you back, man. KGYR, dude. Hope all is well. Thank you very much, sir. Carl, thank you for that insight, that fan insight, because you're one of the few – you might be in that, like the 1% of fans who saw both the no-hitter and that Gerrit Cole performance in person as a fan. You're up there, man. But your final thoughts, sir, it's good to hear you talking baseball.
Well, you know, if the Yankees played all the games in the state of Texas, they'd have like a 700 winning percentage. But unfortunately, they don't do that. You know, here's the thing. You know, the thing about Torres is, Rayson was mentioned, unfortunately, Torres has absolutely zero trade value right now. The man has got, as I look at my numbers, 6 home runs in his last 477 at-bats, or 477 plate appearances, after hitting 62 home runs in the previous two seasons. Now, you tell me which player the real player is. If you give me the last 2 years of data, he is not a functional baseball player that should be starting on any team at any point. So until you tell me what's going on with that, he can't be traded. He's not going to get anything of value in return. So you're sort of stuck with him until he figures it out. As far as the Yankees go, as we close this out, you know, the one thing that the Yankees have to be aware of and be leery of is what I call the tease. And that is, don't use these 2 weeks here to then say, hey, we're going to do this, or hey, we're going to do that. First of all, they don't have many guys to trade to begin with. But the writing is on the wall. And if you're waiting for the Red Sox or Tampa Bay or whatever these teams to slam the door on you, fine. You know, but if you're going to buy into this team in terms of like monetary value to add to a roster that is, you know, let's just say – structurally flawed. I'll just use that as a term. You'd have to explain, like if I'm the owner, you'd have to explain to me why I should put $30 or $40 million extra into a team I'm paying $200 million, where the team that is above you in the standings is spending one third of that amount. You'd have to explain that to me before I approve of anything that would be going on with this team. And if Cashman and his minions and his dudes can't give me an explanation as to why I should spend more money on this particular group of players, then that should be the demarcation point as far as what goes on at the trade deadline and what goes on going forward with this roster.
At the C Notes on Twitter, man, shout out to Carl. Thank you very much. Got the spotlight with you later this week, man. Look forward to having that episode, man. So we're going to have some fun with that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. You want to do that Wednesday or Thursday?
Let's do Thursday.
All right, you know, it's normal spot when we do the football. We'll do it Thursday like we normally do with the football. Sounds good, bro. Susie Prof, I got to go to Twitter after this. Shout out to Carl. I got to go to Twitter after this episode, Susie Prof, because I got to catch up on the tweets, because I saw some of the people from Bleeding Yankee Blue going off. Or a couple, but I didn't see your tweets, so I'm going to have to catch up. Susie Prof, I hope the therapy has calmed you down a little bit on this episode, because it's great to hear from you. Your final thoughts as well. And I'm going to go read the articles on how you saw it as you wrote it from pen to paper, keyboard, scribe to the website, man. Your final thoughts, Susie Prof.
Yeah, I think my final thoughts are I'm in agreement. We need three more Coles. We need to play the small ball. I don't know why we can't shuffle the infield around and put Gio Urshela at shortstop and DJ LeMahieu at third and Gleyber Torres at second. I don't know why we're not doing that, to the point made by the gentleman tonight. And, they're going to need to be really, really thinking about what it is they need to do deep within themselves to win this, you know, the next set of games, to beat the Red Sox, to beat the Rays, and start playing the kind of baseball that they're bred for. And that's the kind of stuff we'll have to write about this week. I mean, Tuesday night will be an opportunity to, you know, think through all this, maybe write about a little bit of what I heard tonight and, you know, catch up on what people are saying. Certainly I'll be tweeting, and I have been tweeting. I'm watching the Home Run Derby. And seeing Pete Alonso, you know, crack 35 home runs in the first round, good for him. He plays with such tremendous passion and gives so much to New York. And I'd like to see the Yankees, you know, really start to have the kind of fire that a Pete Alonso has, that a Gerrit Cole has, that the passion that needs to, you know, I think come through that dugout in full force. And you know what, it isn't all on Boone, but it's certainly, the piece that we had out today was that he belongs back in the box, not in the press box, that is, not in the dugout. And maybe we're going to see that, maybe this will be the end of Boone. I don't know, but I'm really hoping that we have some good pieces coming out this week. Get on there and tweet out at us. I'm at Susie Prof on Twitter and Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. We're Bleeding Yankee Blue. That's bleedingyankeeblue.com. And we want to hear from you and hear more about what you all are thinking. We had the opportunity to voice our opinion and give our therapy tonight, which I think was great therapy for me. And
yes,
we want to continue to hear from you.
We'll be going there immediately after this episode, Susie Prof, because I got to hear from Yankee fans on what they, you know, if they talked it out, how they get over this. Because if Carl's at the game, he seems okay of what happened. You know, I'm not saying he's okay, but it was a shock to him. Talking it out with the guys and gals, man, I'm cool, man. It's an honor to have this episode, the Dugout Podcast, on this All-Star break. And we'll bounce back. We'll be back on next Monday. So we'll talk about the series after Boston, the four-game series, and then you got the Philadelphia series, man. For Susie Prof, for Jimmy, for Ray, and Carl, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Check out the schedule on the website. I got the hockey tomorrow. I got the spotlight on Thursday with Carl. Sangre azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.